morning, folks. We are again this week having an awesome guest. We're sitting with Eugene. Eugene is a CEO for PepsiCo, responsible for the Sub-Saharan Africa region as well as the Middle East region. He spent many years, of course, looking into these businesses, not only on PepsiCo but some of the other global businesses. And I'll put his full bio in the description of this podcast so that you can read up on him and also some of the work that he has done in the past. But for this conversation, we brought Eugene in to chat about a few things because he is in South Africa. He spent some time in Cape Town working at PepsiCo facilities, but also just chatting with the stakeholders of the business. And I want to kickstart our conversation on that with Eugene. Eugene, I'm glad that you can make time to join us today. How's it going?
It's great, and I'm very happy that you actually invited me for this podcast. Great to be with you, and look forward to a great conversation. All well on my side, and I hope the same for you.
Now, fantastic. Thank you so much, Eugene. Eugene, I understand that this past week you kickstart things are quite busy. You landed in the country and you already had a round table where you were talking about accessible nutrition, and you had lawmakers, the Minister of South Africa, various stakeholders, academics. And I want to get a sense of what were you guys from a PepsiCo side talking about, and what are some of the key themes that you pulled up of that conversation?
Was a very rich conversation, and first of all, let me say that we believe that there is a very important role for companies like ourselves, and we're the second largest food and beverage company globally, to play in redesigning the food system globally. And we definitely also want to play our part here in South Africa, where we have a phenomenal stable of brands that we I think are pretty much on every table in South Africa, in every cupboard in South Africa, with brands like White Star, Weet-Bix, Bokomo, Liquifruit, of course Simba, the chippies, as well as Sasco, our bread. And I think with the footprint that we have here in South Africa, there's a very important role for us to play in helping transform the food system end to end, starting with agriculture, but ultimately of course also in terms of how we make our products, how people consume our products, and ultimately also how they dispose of the packaging material that is required to pack those products. And we had a very rich discussion, as I said, with different stakeholders from academics, from the industry, also from bodies that represent farmers, so AgriSA was there. And then, of course, we were joined also by the Honorable Minister Didiza, who also gave her perspective and was very engaged throughout the session.
Now, it looks like, Eugene, you had all of the stakeholders throughout the value chain. And I mean, those aspects that you're speaking to my mind, I mean, you're talking about sustainability there, you're talking about nutrition, but you're also talking about the third pillar in our society, which is the community side. And I mean, it's wonderful to hear that. But Eugene, I want you to also talk a little bit to me about the food security aspect. I mean, PepsiCo, yes, you are there, you are an organization that has its ambitions, but you play an important role when it comes to food security. And I mean, you cover a number of areas that continue to struggle with food security. If you think about your work in the Middle East, you think about your work broader in Sub-Saharan Africa, and of course here in South Africa. If you can talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as PepsiCo, we launched about 18 months ago a comprehensive strategy around PEP Positive, which is for us the umbrella aimed at transforming that food system. Now, one of the many objectives that we pledged was an objective to increase the access to nutrition. And we want to help increase the access to good nutrition to 50 million people by the year 2030. Mm. And of course, to do that, there's a couple of levers that we can pull. One is, of course, ensuring that we have access to some of the products that we make and sell here in South Africa. And I mentioned a few of those brands already before. The other angle with which we can approach this as well is through our philanthropic arm, which is the PepsiCo Foundation. And then the third lever that we can pull also here within a South African context are the public interest commitments to which we agreed as part of the acquisition of Pioneer Foods about 3 years ago. Now, as part of those commitments, We actually pledged to invest 600 million rand in a development fund that is aimed on helping increase the participation of emerging farmers within our food system, also provide education and give people the opportunity to acquire skills, and also invest in empowering people to become entrepreneurs through specific funds as well. Now, specifically around increasing the access to good nutrition, I think there's an important role to play for the agricultural sector. And I think that is where we can actually leverage a lot of our capabilities that we have acquired globally over the last couple of years, specifically as we work with farmers here in South Africa, whether that be large-scale commercial farmers or whether that be the emerging farmers in South Africa. And one of the areas that we can leverage there is the implementation of demonstration farms. I also discussed that with the minister. We have those demonstration farms up and running in many countries across Africa, Middle East, and South Asia. And those demonstration farms are farms that are open to any emerging farmer and actually help them with building skills, but also help them with the tools and the equipment that they need in order to improve the yields, reduce the environmental footprint as they produce crops. Yeah, and as we improve yields, of course, also that helps us provide more good nutrition to the people in the community in which they operate.
Mm. And Eugene, you make an important point there when you talk about those partnerships that are done with the communities. And I want to tap into this about the aspect of climate change, as to whether you're baking that into these programs, and how are you thinking about climate change from a PepsiCo perspective, as well as the partnerships, because I understand that was one of the key highlights in the PepsiCo roundtable in Cape Town that came out in various corners in that conversation.
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, first of all, we believe that we have an important role to play. So let me start with that. And I think every large company sees that they have a role to play in addressing the fundamental challenge of climate change. Now, for us, as I mentioned, that has been embedded in our PEP Positive strategy with three pillars: positive agriculture, positive value chain, and positive product choices. We also understand that we cannot do it alone. And so we need to forge partnerships with other people that operate across that value chain, as well as with other stakeholders, such as governmental stakeholders, in order to create the enabling framework for us collectively to really make significant progress in addressing the challenge of climate change. Now, let me pick one example. One example, and that is a very ambitious objective that we set ourselves, is to convert the equivalent of the agricultural land that we're using across the world, which is 7 million acres, to regenerative agricultural practices. Wow. Now, we need to, of course, work with many different stakeholders hand in hand in order to make that a reality. And this was one of the topics that we discussed in terms of how you do that and how and do you quickly scale that as well. Another area where we need, of course, to work with other stakeholders is around the move towards renewable energy. Mm-hmm. So we've pledged to become a net zero company by the year 2040, not only within our own four walls, the so-called scope 1 and 2, but across our total value chain. So that includes scope 3 emissions as well. In order to make that drive, there need to be a couple of things that fall into play. One, first of all, is the regulatory framework. Yeah, so there needs to be a regulatory framework that is conducive for industry to drive towards renewable energy, which is, in some cases in South Africa, still an opportunity. Second is, of course, we need to partner with some of the providers that provide us with the technology at an affordable cost to install renewable energy at our sites. And then third, as you look at the service providers, we also need to have the right arrangements in place with the service providers so that in the case that we produce more renewable energy that we need, we can give it back to the grid.
Yes.
But also in case that we don't produce enough that we have.
And that's the major issue with us, Eugene, on a regulatory side in South Africa, to say, okay, they are the companies, they say we can do X, Y, Z, but does the regulation and the infrastructure allow that? Sorry for breaking that thought, but I thought that's an important point for us in South Africa.
That is an important point. And not just in South Africa, in all fairness, also in a couple of other countries around the world.
No, Eugene, I mean, this is all for me. I mean, where I'm sitting and listening to all of the work that you think about in a regenerative agriculture and some of the new technologies that PepsiCo is thinking about, it's all very important. But I must also bring one another point here, Eugene. You are responsible for a region, Sub-Saharan Africa, which still has a number of smallholder farmers. And if you to go to any of the conferences in the continent, one of the key things that they always talk about, they will mention the regulatory side, needs for technology, needs for financing, and. But then they will also say there's no market access and all of those things. And you sitting there as a processor, as an important player in the food system. Talk to me about how in the areas where you are present on, you try to bring access for smallholder farmers, of course, those that meet quality and the volume to sustain the business.
No, that's a great point. And clearly, there's work for us to do to increase the number of emerging farmers with which we work here in South Africa. But let me give you an example from one of the other markets that I'm responsible for as well, which is India. So in India, we work with over 20,000 farmers directly. Wow. Most of these farmers are small-scale farmers.
Wow.
Now, we have built a direct relationship with those farmers over many years. We help those farmers with irrigation practices. We help those farmers also with growing practices. And we have demonstrated that through some of the skills transfer and our support, we've been able, over a period of a couple of years, to significantly increase the yield for those farmers. Now, as you do that, you also help those farmers, of course, to increase their income. You help with that improve the livelihoods for their families, and you help create a more thriving community in which these farmers live and operate. Now, I've seen that with my own eyes in West Bengal, so the area around Kolkata, and how we've done that. And it's pretty impressive. So we have the objective to increase more emerging farmers within our value chain here in South Africa as well. We're working with emerging farmers already directly in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're committed to do more of that one daily, because I firmly believe that ultimately, if you're able to create better livelihoods for farming communities, of course, ultimately that also benefits the business community in general.
Yeah, I mean, Eugene, you hit the nail on the head there. And I mean, I'm super impressed by the numbers you mentioned. If in India you're able to work with roughly about 20,000 farmers, I mean, in South Africa, and in South Africa, Eugene, as we speak today, I mean, for context on this, we have roughly about 42,000 commercial farmers with all that we do. So as the organization, if you're able to work about roughly half of that, I mean, that's quite impressive. And again, to that societal benefit of the sustainability of these farmers, if you were to think about that context in the South African case, one family in South Africa is usually responsible for about 6 people. So if you were to touch that amount of people, 20,000, you multiply that by 60, that would be just the direct impact. And I think that as we continue to build our productivity in Africa, in South Africa, these are some of the positive things that I think organizations like PepsiCo will pretty much continue to play. But Eugene, I'm not going to let you go without closing on an optimistic point to think about what are some of the opportunities. I mean, you've been here in a country and you've been in the continent several times, and you see what you've done in Asia. You see what's happening elsewhere in the world where, as an organization, you participate. Where do you see opportunities for PepsiCo in the African continent? What are you thinking about when you think about the agricultural value chain, think about PepsiCo, think about Africa? What comes to mind to you?
I think there's many opportunities. And let me start by saying that I really, really love South Africa. I mean, it's a wonderful country. It's a country that I've been to many, many times. And every time that I come here, I fall in love again with your country. It's really a beautiful country, beautiful people, and a country that has tremendous potential. And the same is true for the broader African continent. as I look at the opportunities within South Africa and, let's say, broader sub-Saharan Africa, I think that there's many opportunities. First of all, I can clearly see that there's business opportunity for us to grow our business. And as we grow our business, I think there's also an opportunity for us to actually do very good for the communities in which we operate. Given that we have such a strong footprint in agriculture, I think there is truly an opportunity for us to help improve the yields for farmers that we work with. With that, also help improve the livelihoods for those farmers. But also, as we start deploying some of the best practices from a sustainability standpoint, there's a true opportunity for us to grow those crops with less resources, reduce water usage, reduce also the carbon emissions, really introduce those regenerative agricultural practices that protect soil health, etc. So I think there's a lot of things that I feel very optimistic about. But what I feel most optimistic about is, with the footprint that we have here in South Africa, the great brands that we have, the strong footprint in agriculture, there's a true opportunity for us to really help create thriving agricultural communities across across the country.
Wow. Eugene Willemsen, I am so glad that you've been able to join us for this conversation, and I hope that next time we'll be able to have it in person. But I'm sure that...
I hope so too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure that many people that listen to this podcast and read some of the work that we put out in Business Day will also benefit from some of these insights. Thank you so very much for giving us your time.
Thank you, Wandile.